Vikings fans, season 5, episode 10, mid-season finale, moments of vision. Man, we got some shit to talk about.
You are tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Let the buzz begin.
Hello!
Hello, Viking fans!
What up?
I almost feel bad, Vikings fans. By the way, welcome. Sorry we are late. To the show. We had a few technical difficulties here, but we are here. We are live. You guys are in the chat. You're waiting for us. Oh my gosh, thank you so much. I am super, like, Yaku, we needed that thing that didn't happen.
Huh? What?
I don't know what was that.
Where are we at? What's going on?
Nothing happened. What a melancholy, crazy episode, right?
Moments so sad.
Moments of vision.
So sad. Moments
surreal,
of vision.
The sadness of war and mankind's fallibilities.
Oh,
all that.
Oh, wow. Al went there. All right, let's get the particulars out of the way before we go any further. My name is James Simmons. I'm your main dude. I'm your lead host tonight for the Vikings
Watch
After
out.
Show. And you can catch me all over social media at Ask the NP. And a big shout out before we go any further to Carrie D. Lane, who I think is watching, but she could not join us for the midseason.
We miss
finale.
You, Carrie.
We miss you, Carrie.
Oh, moi.
Yeah.
This guy. But first of all, man, I had to wipe a couple of tears from my eyes.
Dude.
I think that episode affected us all. Shout out to my brother, Young Half Black.
That's
and
me.
My brother from the motherland over here, Yaku. And I am Al.
Full Half Black.
Al, Full Half Black, a.k.a. Young Blood Eagle. Young Blood Eagle. And, you know, let's get it popping, man. Let's talk about it.
Awesome. Where can they find you?
They can find me at Jamaica House Doc on Twitter. Oh, and I got my IG up and popping on Instagram at @Algie_Jamaica House. Thanks, guys. Get at me.
Nice. My name is Yaku Vinings. I am your, I guess, on the end panel co-host this tonight. Tonight, I've got kicked down. But listen, hey, you guys can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, at Yaku Vinings. That's it. At Yaku Vinings.
That's it.
Usually they're so late with this name thing on the left down here somewhere. So can you just put it up this time, please, Steve? And by the way, speaking of Steve, hello, Steve.
What up, Steve?
Hey.
Steve's in the house.
What's he? He's the voice of God.
The voice of God.
He's the guy putting all the strings behind the scenes.
Hello, my children.
Hello, my children.
Yes.
Speaking of scenes, James.
Oh, my God. Okay, so speaking of scenes, Yaku, this first scene set the tone beautifully for the entire episode. They open with the misty fog and the clouds and the singing.
Norway's anthem.
Was that Norway's anthem?
Norway's anthem.
There was lots of Viking.
And it was chilling and gave me goosebumps.
Right here in the beginning, while it was giving you goosebumps, did you actually think that Halfdan and Harald, they were kind of vibing? Harald at this point is kind of like, maybe on the battlefield they are going to be joining forces? Did you guys see
I
that?
Went there. Yes, Yaku, I was with you. I'm
but
like, okay.
That prediction right here
come
true.
Right. I was like, all right, they're singing to each other and they're cool. Like Halfdan is like, all right, let's do this and maybe we're going to be homies.
No.
Not going to happen. So how are we going to do this, James? Are we going to...
I think.
How do you guys want to do this? And Steve is going to throw the live chat up there in a second so we'll be able to see what you all say. When you talk to us, we talk back.
Right.
Are we going to do it chronologically?
I think we should do it chronologically, including because this episode was so intense and there was so much going on in this episode that I think maybe we... the Iceland stuff is a nice break.
Yes.
In between. So they kind of, you guys just watched this, you get it, but they had the battle scenes and then flashbacks. So I literally was numbering the flashbacks. I think we had nine different flashback scenes here. They always predated predecessor. What am I trying to say?
They
were always right before a big death.
Yes.
Which there were way too many of in this episode.
It kind of took me out a little bit, but at the same time, I was appreciative that these stream sequences or these moments between life and death, like right when you're on the edge of the two worlds, it was still really compelling at the same time. But
totally
I hear what you're saying.
Totally agreed, Al. Valhalla's gates were wide open tonight.
Yes, it was.
Dude.
So let us know also what you guys think in the comments, because, I mean, we can talk about the fighting and all the deaths, but what do you see, the bigger picture, zoom out, what did this episode tell you? Throw that in the comments, because we need to know your thoughts, your side of the story.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
As well, I want to say here at the beginning, I feel like it starts off basically with Haymond and Lagerfra, which is the whole kissing thing, and like, now I can die, which is a big tone for the whole episode because you guys all thought she was going to die.
Right, we did think that was a little bit of a spoiler for those of you who haven't seen, but I did think they were really setting Lagerthur up to die. Like, I was like, she's going to be the big one. You knew somebody big was going to die in this episode.
But guess what? I don't think she's out of the woods yet. You know what I mean? And obviously, that's the kind of cliffhanger they're leaving it on. But I thought that was... this is another product that was really interesting. You just put your finger on it. The fact that you got a chance to see everyone's point of view, and you could tell where people who were actually feared death versus the people who embrace death versus Bishop Haymond, who was like, yo, I'm not going to die.
Which is very Christian of him to think that, right? And versus the Vikings, they sort of like look forward to death, and they definitely look forward to Valhalla. Like, they have a very different take on it. Like, Halfdan, I loved him in the singing in the beginning. You could tell homie was at peace with dying from Jump Street.
That's the way to go, man.
He's seen the world. He's cultured, he's ready to go, and he was still stuck with Bjorn till the end.
Till the end.
Right. So maybe we should talk about each person. Put it out there.
I don't know, you guys know, we make notes for you guys so we can keep track of the show. I starred all of the deaths, and one, two, three, four, I got five deaths here. Well, the first star, Yaku, I like your point, let's talk about the deaths, but can we talk about someone who didn't die? Ube had every opportunity to kill Vitsik, and he didn't do it.
What? Why? Why did he?
Brotherly love, right? They couldn't get past it.
But this whole thing is about brotherly hate. Like, literally, they brought everyone together because they hate each other.
They hate each other is right. The sons of Ragnar is what the seer also said. So they hate each other, and they love each other. Well, they hate each other, but yet Uba couldn't kill Vitsik, where the Halfdan Harald brothers love each other. And he did kill his brother.
That was ruthless.
So we've got in the comments, Adriadne saying, Size, I'm not accepting the fact Halfdan's death. Other people said it was very Game of Thrones-y. If you scroll down, I missed it now, but someone said they want you to think that with the flashbacks that you don't know who's going to die.
And side note, when you mentioned the Game of Thrones reference, you know, with all like the surprise deaths, another thing was very Game of Thrones-y to me, in a good way, though, was Ivar. Ivar the Boneless sitting up there with all the arrows going around him. Like Jon Snow in battle. He just can't be killed.
Right.
God is going to keep him safe for whatever reason.
And, you know, he was the one, speaking of Ivar, he was the one person that I sort of knew going in, like, he was not going to die. Because show will kill big people, just like, you know, mentioned Game of Thrones, just like some other big shows, but I feel like they got to have that one dude to carry it, and if Ragnar's not around to carry it, someone has to, and I think all of our mutual hatred for Ivar is enough to bring us back, right, to carry the show.
Absolutely. Now, he is carrying the show, he's not dying.
Nope.
The few people that did die. The Sami princess. A few times flashing back to her.
She was my next star. She was the next death.
So Sami princess, in love with Bjorn. Bjorn in love with her. Love their fighting style, people. Kudos to the Sami.
I got to disagree with you there, Yaku, because I was like, there is absolutely nothing. Stealth. Nothing. Well, the stealthiness was cool. Right. There was nothing.
Camo.
Efficient, maybe, or practical about like having to pull this rope out with like a
like I'm gonna kill you with a slingshot in the dark.
Right. She's like ripping it up.
Did you see how many people that slingshot took down?
Well, here's the thing. I think we all agreed that they're more good again when they're camouflaged,
right?
And you know, when they're
you
can't see them. They're fighting more of a guerrilla warfare.
Is that what camouflage means?
When they're in the open, that's when they're least protected and more vulnerable.
Right. She was more than vulnerable. She was like, she like whipped her thing around. She's like, whoa, 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 and she popped dude in the face. And then like, as the axe was coming in and like
done.
Chopped her on the face. Like, thank you, Steve. Very good. Like, baby girl, you need a shield with your little rope and rock or something. Like,
Danny is saying, Danny Kennison is saying, hates the fighting style. I'm sorry. Sloppy, terrible close-up weapons.
I'm with you, Daniel.
What happened to the poison darts that was so effective? Don't change something that works.
Right. Minnesota Vikings. Oh, sorry. Did I say that? Hey, at least I kept it topical with the Vikings. Thank you.
Our Vikings lost. Both ways. We lost out of getting into the Super Bowl, and we lost tonight. But I'm sorry.
Just saying. So I did put down that she was badass, though. I was like, she was badass with her little rope, but then it didn't work. We after her, though, we flash back again. And this is Bjorn and Halfdan. And I know we talked about him a little bit, but I feel like we need to give Halfdan some mad props. Because for me, that was a really big death. Like, so I was powerful. Vibing with him big time.
And unexpected as well. And in the way. Yeah, you kind of think that Uber didn't kill Vitsek. Okay, well, there's no way Harold's actually going to slice his brother's head off.
And he does. But just to echo what both of you guys said, man, it's like, what a way to go, you know, if we're happiness with God, that surreal spiritual moment.
And you say that with God, spiritual, but also knowing that your brother loves you because holding him saying, I love you, I'll see you in Valhalla, this is the way to go. Slowly, you know, put you down.
I don't know if I want to, just like medically, y'all know I'm always trying to bring it back to a medical standpoint. I'm not sure medically I want someone to like half slice my neck. Like, you're going to bleed out, and so you're like, know that you're dying, and you're just going to watch yourself die, or like, feel yourself die for like a good, I don't know, 30 seconds.
And here's the thing, I'm not even really, I mean, we all fear death a little bit, but more than I fear death is like going in a bad way. Like, who wants to get a prolonged death where you're just getting gutted and stabbed and your head's getting banged in with a mallet?
Right.
Not a fun
sounds
one.
Very Viking-ish.
Yeah. It does sound
a lot
great.
Of this happened today.
Oh, a glorious death, I guess.
Speaking of deaths, how about some of those nasty scenes throughout this whole episode? It was amazing. At least like last week's dude with the arm.
Well, this time there wasn't that much like in action killing, but there was a lot of aftermath. A guy's head stuck to the tree with the arrow, an arm just lying there.
The old guy whose like guts were like flying out of his chest and
flopping out of his chest.
And they wrapped it all up with, and this is again, I'm not all on Michael Hirst's jock, but I do think he did such an amazing.
Yeah, right. I'm on his jock,
or we are on his jock. Yeah. But he did. There was such an amazing like Vikings-esque sort of deaths with it, like the cool gore that we all get into. While at the same time, like I was a little emotional, like I didn't want that old dude to be sitting there suffering. And you're like, why are we all killing each other? Like it's a civil war, you know.
But it actually cuts back from that. I don't think the point was to make all gory. That was the previous episodes. So this episode was all about pulling it in. What is this all about? And that's what it was, Civil War.
And to kind of take it back to something I mentioned, I guess, last week, a couple of weeks ago, the filmmaker did such a great job at saying, opening that, like, war is sad, it's heartbreaking, brother against brother.
Right.
You're descending into madness. Even the seers said it. And I guess, like, but visually, the way they nailed that contrast is between Iceland and between what was going on in Kattegat, because Floki's crew, obviously they had a couple of deaths, but Floki was willing to do anything so no one wouldn't die. And he even called it, we're supposed to come here to live differently than
better
the way
people.
They are. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So like those are those two different lifestyles. But unfortunately, the underlying theme, I think, is just mankind is just fallible and we're always going to end up killing each other. That sucks.
Horrible.
Man, what a note to go. Thanks. All right, we can just wrap it up there.
Thanks, guys, for watching After
Buzz. Right. Yeah. No, but I think mankind is fallible, and what all of this killing, I think, will do to some people is actually make them go crazy, like Marguerite.
Literally.
Because she comes up out of this water. So she started having visions. This episode's called Moment of Visions. Moments of Vision, right. But she started having visions last episode, and this time she comes out of the water With a log. But she's seen all these people die. She foresaw, right? Thank you, Steve. She foresaw Jarl Borg's son's death, right? Okay. And she's seen these visions and comes out. So is she crazy?
She is a woman in Norway, 1100s, that before a Viking battle, they have visions of people dying. Like, come on.
Right, like this is
like if, like I could have told you that people are gonna die in a Viking battle.
So you're saying her visions aren't that prophetic.
It's like, good call, like,
Nostradamus. It's pathetic.
Like, right.
But so her problem is she wants to be queen. That's literally the only thing on her mind. She wants to be queen, and now she is saying the only way she could do this is if she kills Bjorn's sons.
Which, she goes to the seer, and we can jump forward to that, I think, because it was kind of weird. The poor seer, I feel for this dude. He's like, just leave me to have alone.
He's like already taking a dirt nap.
Right, right. He's like, get me out of here.
One foot in the grave.
But she's obsessed. It's this whole thing, Al, to your point about humans are fallible, and what is the underlying message of all of this? Halfdan even says it. We're fighting for glory that doesn't mean anything. We're fighting for land that doesn't mean anything. Margaret is so crazy and obsessed about maybe becoming the king or the queen and getting Uba to the kingship that she's like saying shit, and she's like willing to kill these two innocent kids so she could be queen. But for what does it all mean?
Literally, everyone's lust for power, which drives him towards these egotistical actions, is literally killing them. Like, as a society, individually, and it makes for great drama and great entertainment, and it's really compelling, but...
Yet we're here every single week talking about it for an hour, so...
Now, do you think... I mean, that brings up a good point. Because I think we all started watching Vikings, and I'm going to go there, y'all.
Go there.
Y'all, come with me. I see you guys in the comments, by the way. You have some incredible predictions. We're coming to you, I promise. But, you know, are there some... do you think that's the intent of this show? Like, when they started off 5 seasons ago to take us there? Like, we're sitting here, you know, our first couple seasons, we sat around and talked about, oh, that was the best killing ever, and, like, how fun, and Ragnar's the man, and he's so hot. And now we're talking about, like, the meaning of life and shit, you know? Like, is this, do you think, the natural cycle of the show? Like, fans, do you guys, along with us, we're all fans, and you guys are our fifth host tonight, along with Steve, like... Do you feel that way too? Like, is this a good move to go there?
Let's find out what they think. I think throw it in the comments and then we'll read them off. Because I think it's a really good question for the entire show.
Absolutely.
I think, yes. I think no. I think they wrote the first episodes as a hook to get us watching. And when they got us, they're like, okay, so what can we do with this show? Because we think about the first season and what it entailed. But then again, the Sunstone was there up until this season, from episode one, season one. So...
And along those lines, man, you're talking about like where the show started versus where it ends. Whose ghost, whose spirit still lingers over everything? Ragnar,
right.
And what was Ragnar to a T? He was a farmer, but he was a warrior. He was spiritual and he loved God, but he was violent. All those like conflicting things, which makes him obviously for an intriguing character, an intriguing show. I'm sorry, I'm just like... I'm just sad for the finale.
It's coming back soon, apparently.
It was. I know, I'm sad. Well, they said episodes coming soon. I don't even know what that means.
Let's talk about Lagerfrau, because that's a big part. We've got like 25 minutes left. Got a lot to talk about. Lagerfrau is a huge part of this whole situation.
And what I think is kind of amazing is that she is so at peace with dying.
Why?
Well, I think she's at peace with dying because she is as ride or die or as Viking as they come. Like, it doesn't matter her born gender. Like, she's just as much of a Viking as anyone else. But what I think is really interesting is that Lagerthur has a change. She's so ready to die in the beginning of this episode, and she's like, cool, I can die, until she sees Astrid. Right? What? And hears about Astrid and the baby.
And then she starts fighting. Violently. Everybody sees somebody die and starts fighting and violently.
It's crazy.
I think once you get that scared and close to death, like that fight or flight instinct takes over, and you're fighting to your last breath until you're not. But one thing about Lagertha, I think deep inside her character, that's why I think her character is so compelling, deep inside the way she's written, in the back of her brain, she feels that she did wrong by killing...
Killing Auslaug.
So basically, and you know that fear in your mind, you've done something wrong, you've done something dirty, and you're always kind of like worried about that karma coming back to you.
It's called guilt. Conscious.
Do you think? Really?
Well, I think that's an interesting point, it's a very subconscious thing. In the front of her head, but very subconscious.
Because I guess I never thought about that as, but you know, watching this show for so long and feeling like all Vikings, I'm like, they kill people for... stealing some goat's milk. You know what I mean? Like, they'll kill people for anything. And Auslaug did Lagertha wrong. She jacked her man. She tried to jack her kids. Like, Auslaug was a total B from Jump Street, I think. Y'all know how I feel about her. Yep. So I was not at all upset. I mean, I'm not trying to, people shouldn't die, but I was not at all upset that Lagertha took her out.
True that.
And I feel like in a true Viking sense, like Lagertha's like, well, that's part of Viking life. Like, you got a deal.
But,
you know what
and,
I mean?
But, and I think that's what the show is saying, back to that theme. Killing only begets more killing, even though she got done wrong. Lagertha killed her. She shot her in the back. Yeah. So, I mean, that's right. Kind of a, you know, it's she a Viking shot, thing, but it's low
she
blow.
She shot her in the back.
True.
While she was smiling, because she knew what was coming, because she was the one with the initial visions. Let's talk about Lagertha on the battlefield, talking about her head and all that, fighting with somebody's head. Did you guys see that? Slapping people left
that
and right.
That was badass.
Nice, yeah.
With someone's head. And then seeing her, because everybody had visions on the battlefield, right? So she had a vision of herself as a young girl on the farm and her father giving her a little, like, cute little amazingly crafted hammer, which she is sitting before battle, kissing, saying, like, your father telling you this will always protect you. So right there and then, I'm already thinking, she's not going to die. Which she didn't.
Because of the hammer.
Because of the hammer. Because why else put that in?
But then it was right after that hammer that she ends up having to... She has this moment with Astrid, right? And you guys, someone just put up in the comments, I was confused about this too. I'm sorry, I missed who put it in the comments, but... What did Astrid throw herself onto Lagertha's sword?
Out. She lashed.
She
out.
Did that because she felt obviously Lagertha probably didn't want to kill her.
It's like pulling a water gun on the U.S. cops.
Yeah, death suicide by cop. Or something.
There you go. It's like that.
I kind of looked at it as like a combat high where you just have that subconscious instinct to defend yourself when you have something swinging towards you.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Lifetime doing that.
It was just a reflex.
It's the reflex.
That's, that's the way I looked at it, Al.
You can't put someone in that position and not expect them to defend themselves. So I absolutely agree with you, Steve.
Totally.
But how tragic is that Astrid died? And talking about going back to guilt and shame, the guilt and shame she felt for, really not just, she was loyal to Lagertha, but for betraying King Harald, this man who abducted her, but she actually grew to love and had to screw and was forced to screw these other guys. That guilt and that shame, carrying around that Frankenstein baby, who knows the daddy is? That was
she. Well, who's the daddy? Right. She knows who's the daddy. So why do you think, you guys at home, why do you think she didn't want to have that child?
But, okay, you think she knows? I don't think she knows because they were like, it was like a gangbang. Excuse my language, though, right?
Well,
like,
no, gangbang.
She's
school.
A woman. Well, I think she knew.
Okay.
You think so?
I think she knew. She's
women
a woman,
have that, like,
they have that,
like,
instinct.
But I, so
like woman
right
intuition.
Now, my wife knows that she's not pregnant. She knows that.
Hopefully you know she's not pregnant, too.
Well, yeah.
I'm just saying. So, wait a minute. But this is, I think this, for me, confirmed. Al, I'm going to disagree with you. I've been disagreeing with both of you guys tonight. That's all right. That's why we do this. I think that Astrid being like, I cannot have this baby, solidified to me that Harald is the father. Because she ultimately, look, they had this moment. Like, we knew that Astrid has always been ride or die for Lagertha. She's always loved Lagertha. She didn't want to, like, betray her, quote. So,
and she still didn't, I don't think.
I don't think she did either, but I think Astrid was like, it would be the ultimate betrayal if I ended up having this man baby.
That's a note,
that's
too.
Why I got to kill myself.
I must add in here, she said, otherwise, we have to kill me. She said, why? Otherwise, we will kill you. Why? Why will we kill you? Because if I give birth to this child, which will be the king of all Norway, we'll most likely kill all of our grandchildren and people as well. Maybe.
Right. Wow. They just think of 10 steps ahead. Good one.
So maybe. I don't know. But that's something to think about.
No. I think it's an excellent prediction and something that could come forward. And I on the writing side of this and the sort of the plot lines of this, I thought this was exactly when Astrid was going to die. This was not a surprise for me. I didn't think she was going to maybe throw herself on Lagertha's sword, but I knew Astrid was dying in this episode for sure.
Great character. R.I.P. Astrid.
Right. We love you, Astrid. So it was actually right after that that we had our first Iceland break, which I felt like we needed, man. I was like so emotional.
Well, yeah, definitely.
We're super emotional on the battlefield and everybody's dying. And then now we go to Iceland where it's also very emotional.
And very cold. but at least they got hot pools. So very emotional on Iceland, saying, okay, so we're making this makeshift Viking boat, which I thought was very creative, the way they did that.
Yeah. Well,
on the ground. They can't waste the actual boat. And so saying, like, listen...
What? Smart, Yaku.
Funeral boat.
I knew it was a funeral boat, but I didn't realize that they were trying to, like, save resources and not
burn
one of their actual boats.
And that was Eivind's son that died, right?
Yeah.
That was Eivind's son that died.
From the last episode.
Yes, and so now he died, burying him. Take your stuff and leave, is what everybody's telling Avent.
But take it a step beyond that. I want to get back to that point. But when Floki was trying to like console him and have that,
well, yeah, rap the next step,
like that. I was almost waiting for like Avent to like basically stab Floki.
I
was just like, that was the next thing to do.
That came to mind for sure.
That would have been a very Vikings,
because they said unpredictable deaths. So
yeah,
that would have been one. But so now he's telling him, listen, so you can be the lawmaker if only one thing. I only want one thing. You guys, you know what that is. Do not continue the cycle of killing. It needs to stop, and it needs to stop here and now. And if that actually did happen, their little society would have been fine.
It would have been. Their society would have been fine. And I think, was I the dummy watching that I thought maybe they were actually going to do it?
No.
Like, I was really surprised that Avent...
Well, he looked at him and said, are you going to make me the lawmaker? I just forgot about
And lawmaker is the king, right? Lawmaker is the king? That the title, or is that a different title?
He said, because in the previous episode, they spoke about that we will have fair laws. You know, they spoke about laws already. So I think this is like a judgistical system.
A title?
Yeah. Like a judge.
It's a three-party system. Sorry.
There's like...
Well, okay. I won't go there. So... I was surprised because you know, you guys saw what is his name? Helgrim? Thorgrim. Thorgrim. They found Thorgrim in
the steam pool.
The geyser, yeah.
They found him in the Deadpool.
Good call.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, that's right. Let's bring humor into death.
And so this is a perfect part where Floki was standing there. And it kind of gave me chills, guys. He said, I know all too well what happens next.
Bingo. Because he's seen it. Floki, remember, y'all remember Floki as a boat builder and being a little bit crazy. But remember, Floki was a crazy good fighter. So
he fights with the small knives.
Right.
He doesn't have shields and stuff.
He was tearing people up in the last few seasons.
And so, how about that? I'm sorry. But how about that part where he's breaking down? He's like, I've been a fool. I've always been a fool. Uh-huh. Why did I think that would work out? I was like, hit me right here.
It was. And you really, because I think we want this to work. Because even though, Al, to your point, to go in there, we're all fallible. We're all sort of like, how they show the Vikings, and not the Vikings on Iceland, right? Yeah. But the Vikings fighting in Kattegat right now. But that's how we are at our core as human beings. But you wanted it to be better for them.
Danny Jeter is making a good point. He said the people who went to Iceland were supposed to be the most spiritual, and half of them is just okay with the temple being burned down.
Right.
Well, they want to send people away. So, I mean, they are obviously mad. I think the more important thing right now, Danny, is that they just want to stay alive. Like, they want the civilization to keep going forward.
But obviously, like, Avent, even though he came off spiritual in the beginning, he was just, I think he was plotting the whole time. He's like, yo, I could take this thing over in the back of his head.
Totally, so, okay, do you guys think I think we're almost done here with Iceland, but do you think there's a slight chance that guy drowned?
No. I felt he was killed, maybe dumped in the water, or maybe he strangled him in the water, possibly.
What do you guys think? Let us know in the comments. Nope. I need to know.
Dimitri, I see you in the comments. You have some really great... You've had some good stuff about Floki, that you actually think that the Iceland storyline is just going to end with Floki's death, and you think that Floki's actually going to kill himself. We'll get to predictions later on, but that would also be huge for the show. I'm not sure I could tolerate losing more people like this.
Like you said, Ivar is one of those people that carries it forward. Floki's like the grandfather. He's been there since the first few episodes.
Yeah, he connects us to season one.
Yeah. So, and so does Ivar, since that's Ragnar's sperm.
Ivar's such a... he's a villain, but he's a charismatic villain. Yeah, we got to keep him around.
Is he? Man, I can't stand Ivar. Speaking of Ivar, man, this is what... We come back from Iceland, so he's standing up over. Man, I think I was trying to think about the auditions and the casting for Ivar. And they probably were like, we need to find the dude with the most... swagger without saying a word, because Ivar just when he just stands on his little crutches, right, and he gets like just a little sway going, a little smirk on his face, and you're like, this dude has so much swagger and so much confidence right now, and he's looking down over that battlefield of people, and you're like, dude, I don't care, crutches are not, crazy or not, like, I'm not messing with this dude.
He's rocking his crutches like a pimp cane, man. Pimp cane. Man, he's got that kind of swag.
You have a lot of swag when someone that can walk throw away your crutch. I mean, that just gives you street credit. Hello. Or battlefield credit.
Hello.
Well, now while he's standing there, he's seeing the entire battlefield in front of him. The arrows, yes, they shoot the arrows, untouchable, nothing touches him. But he sees the entire battlefield as skeletons.
Skeletons.
Except Lagerfra.
Uh-huh.
Which to me means And I want to know what it means to you guys in the comments, but what it means to me is that nothing else matters to him. Which is, to my point, what Floki said, do not let revenge be the one thing that drives you. And that's the only thing that drives Ivar.
And I'm going to add a corollary to that theory. I agree with that. But
you're better.
But another possibility, the flip side of that, because I'm always trying to think, like, what's the allegory? What's the subconscious thing he's trying to say deeper that I thought maybe those all those skeletons could actually be the people that are going to eventually die. It was kind of like a premonition, like he saw death because skeletons are metaphor death. It doesn't have to be literal, but it's just another layer.
So you're saying everybody's dying except Daggerfall?
Yeah, and that's another possible interpretation. It could be both, but I think that's just another layer to make you think like, oh,
well, that just messes his whole plan up.
What messes me up is that Al dropped the word allegory and corollary in the same comments.
Did you not say color,
right? I can't even say it. Corollary or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, and I was a journalism major. Al, big props on you. And I,
5 cent SAT word.
Right. Hey, it worked. I was there though with you. I thought the visual effect of the skeletons was really cool, and it obviously showed, right, like you said, Yaku, Ivar focusing on Lagerthur, but I also didn't sort of get it. I was like, so does this mean everyone else dies? Or
one theory.
This is something really important for Dimitri saying, did you guys see that stare down between Heymond and Ivar also standing up on the thing? Heymond, why are you winking at Ivar across the battlefield?
Right.
What the hell? Are you going to turn on us? What's going on?
Maybe he was the plant in the first place. Like we all, I think, didn't Carrie predict that like 3 episodes ago?
Triple double deep undercover.
Damn it, Carrie. Carrie, if you're watching, you were probably right about this one because Ivar was like, Lagerthur, you're going to die. And then he like looks at Heyman and they wink and you're like, oh, damn.
That's a mind blower, man.
Ariel Davis is saying Ivar and Heyman definitely has a plan and it would explain the hallucinations and the adrenaline. And Nikki is saying that because someone earlier said that Ivar was on shrooms. We know how they like to eat their shrooms in the forest.
Totally,
someone said that in the comments.
That's
so
right.
That might explain why everybody has hallucinations, but then that means everybody's on mushrooms fighting.
Another good way to go, maybe, man.
Hey, right. If you're like not, if you're just like hallucinating and not really feeling a lot of pain,
tripping balls off shrooms. You know.
Yeah, I like your guys' comments tonight. You guys have been doing a great job giving us comments. And remember, after the episode is done, make sure to give us a thumbs up and another comment. We really enjoyed you guys watching so far. I'm just so excited to see everybody. We got over 100 comments in the previous episode.
Viking Squad in the house on YouTube. Right. Thank you to all the people out there in the chat. Thank you.
And we really do appreciate y'all coming in and
get that off, so much.
Thank you, Yaku. You show the fans the love.
Be with us.
Don't cry.
I don't want to leave. I don't want this to be the last episode.
I know. And they say coming soon, too. What? I don't know. What does coming soon mean? Because last time they did coming soon to us, it was like 8 months.
Yeah.
I can't. Please don't make us wait 8 months next time. History on Vikings. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. We gotta get to the part where
this, after battle.
This makes me so mad. All right, so
where are we going?
Ivar looks down and all he sees is Lagerthur, and he's like, "Don't be scared, come and fight me." Da, 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 da.
Well, this is afterwards, right?
This is right out. He says that right after we get the big invasion of the Franks.
Oh,
which I had totally forgot about.
They made us forget about it,
right?
But we got to call it what it is. That's a Deus Ex Machina. That literally the hand of God coming down, saving. Let me lose the SAT word. It's basically like a last minute save of the day where you feel like literally it's, you know, this is kind of out of the blue, kind of like, you know, but anyway.
Totally. No, I'll keep rolling. I'm with you.
No. I mean, like, you see it like in Lord of the Rings, you know, or you've seen it in Game of Thrones, like we see, where it's the darkest hour, and then Harry Potter probably, when it's the darkest hour for the good guys and or some side, not necessarily the good guys, and at the last minute, they get saved by a new ally coming from out the woods. So, Deus Ex Machina.
You know what really pissed me off in this scene? So the Franks are coming off, right? Deus Ex Machina. And so that's happening. Yaku. And so now Bjorn is seeing this happened. What happens? They run away. They retreat, right?
Yeah.
And so what does Harald's forces and the French do?
They run after him.
What happened in the previous episode when Harald's people retreated?
Oh, Bjorn's people let them go.
I'm going to use my F word tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right.
Mother effort.
Harald did. I got to say it like Yaku. King Harald did. chase after them. But this is what I wanted to know, just a point of technicality. How did the Franks know which Vikings to not kill? Because they all kind of look alike.
Well, this is clever. The shield colors. So Harald is yellow.
Good catch.
And Lagerfrau is blue. And Lagerfrau was actually, we caught her on the battlefield fighting with a yellow shield on the battlefield.
Now, do you think that was intentional or just like a continuity error?
I just think that's...
I think it was intentional. Lagerfrau is smart.
Okay, I just want to know, I want to see how it paid off.
She's alive, so it must have paid off this. But
she ain't fooling nobody, like with the war pen. We know this Lagerfrau.
Everybody knows who Lagerfrau is. One of you guys picked that up in the comments earlier, by the way. I saw you a long time ago, about 20 minutes ago. You know, you also commented that Lagerfrau was fighting with the wrong shield. So the Franks come in. The bad guys, I'm calling them bad guys, because y'all know where I stand. The bad guys start to chase everybody, and...
they run back to Kattegat. So that's what happens now. Now, this is kind of coming to the end of this whole episode and the first half of the season, and we've got a good comment asking, like, we still don't understand why Rolo, and I think it was Nikki, sorry, that you guys comment so much, it goes so fast, so and that's fast, that's right. Good. That's good. Said that we still don't understand why did Rolo give his people to... Vitsek and to Ivar. So he fully pulled through. He said, yes, here's my forces, and go kill everybody except Bjorn. Even Lagerfrau.
And I'm...
bullshit.
I'm still torn by that decision, but just to take it, do you think there's more in the back in Rolo's mind?
Not
when
anymore.
They cut to him when he's like kind of idling in the river? Like, what's his plan there? He's kind of staying kind of like... I got the figure he was monitoring the battle.
Well, I mean, that was huge, by the way. This, like, right at the end, we like slow camera pan over to a very... old and weathered. France has been very good to Rolo.
He has not been keeping in shape.
No, he has not been. I'm
living a good life.
Pan le vino.
One of you guys commented earlier, I saw you guys, as long as Rolo still has his abs, I'm cool. I feel the same way. I mean, his face could be beat up, but if he has those abs. Anyway, Rolo, like, slow roll. Right, was he watching the battle the whole time?
They kept him mysterious, right?
Why is he
right
coming
in? He's right there. He's right there.
Okay.
And so now... takes me back to the chess piece that Ivar was playing at the end of two episodes ago, where he had them all surrounded. And so now this might be, I don't know how he would have done this, but them from the water, especially because Bjorn said, listen, we need to escape right now, so pack your shit, let's go. How are they going to escape? They're going to run? They're not going to run. They're going to take a boat and go to Iceland.
But if Rolo is coming in, then they can't leave.
Exactly.
Which fast forwards us to, because we want to know you guys' predictions too, it fast forwards us to this mini trailer we saw for the second part of season 5.
Very Games of Thrones.
Right. Ivar is full on face makeup, lights, camera, tiki torches, and they're about to sacrifice Lagerfrau.
She got to pay for her.
I intentionally didn't watch the trailer because I don't want to be spoiled.
I just messed it up for you.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, sorry. I was a little slow on that one. So, this is you guys' opportunity right now.
I'm sorry, James. We have no proof or evidence that Lagerfrau was caught, okay? I don't know where you get it. Like, I watched the same thing and I thought
it was
like,
just a prediction. It was just a prediction.
He's just sitting there saying that to win over the people. Like, you didn't see Lagerfrau being caught. She's leaving. Now, she's leaving. Kattegat. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm going to throw out a prediction when we get there. Like an early prediction.
Are we? I think we're there.
I think we're there.
Are we there, Steve?
It's too early. Damn it.
And now, you're on your TV.
Predictions. So, predictions. We got 4 minutes left. We want to know you guys in there. Runa, I just saw your prediction. I love it. Dimitri, Ara, Ariadne, Toxanuba, everybody. Nikki. We love you guys. Nikki, give us your predictions. We're going to try to read them really fast.
Merly, Dimitri. Can I get this? Because I'll forget.
Get it out. Get it.
Off your chest, since I was the one I brought, I got to get it off my chest. Bam! I predict, and I said this last week, and this is just like my gut because I intentionally didn't watch the trailer.
Right.
But this is just my gut. I said this earlier today, I believe. I still believe Lagerfrau's going to die. I think she has a debt to pay. Her and Ivar is going to, you know, they're going to dance, and I think that debt has got to be paid with a life. Maybe that, and that's not even seeing the trailer, what you saw.
So,
right.
I think you're wrong, but I'm going to leave it at that. Lagerfrau ain't dying. So, let's see. Steve Bitz is saying, if Rolo is double... too late, sorry. Haman is going to convert the pagans to Christianity. Merly is saying, because Rolo... Oh, too fast.
These comments are flying.
Oh, so fast. Lagerfeld will die from Dimitri. Alexander saying Ube is king in England, maybe in reference to the Seer's prophecy. Very, very interesting.
Oh. Shout out to Ara. Shout out to Alexander. Nikki, it's a bunch of people up in there.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of people.
So, Ivar and Katakut and fighting with Harald.
Maybe you should write down some things while I give my prediction. Just look
yes,
at
I will do that. Go
so
for
I'm going to give you guys my prediction while James catch your predictions on the screen. Just bam. Points. I think this is going to happen. I think that that Rolo's there in his boat and he's sitting there. And I think Rolo is going to now quickly raise a flag or blow a horn and his forces are going to change sides now. Because Rolo's whole idea of... Actually, that's not my prediction. My prediction is that the forces with Rolo right now... Sorry, I'm very confusing right now. His forces with him right now... I'm going to get it out.
Take your time, brother. Take your time.
Going to kill... the Vikings on Ivar's side, but also kill the French people on Ivar's side.
Wow.
Because his whole plan is to kill French people. He wants back in the tribe. That is my prediction.
Whoa.
And Lagerfrau will not die. So I'm just saying that. Sorry it took me so long to say all those words.
You got it out, brother. You got it out.
That's all right. No, no, that was good. Sort of twisty-turny prediction from you guys. Ara originally put this out there. Daniel agreed with her. Several people have agreed to this. Ivar and Haemon team up with Rollo. They kill Lagertha. And then the three of them all go to England and try to win back Wessex and York and all of that.
And can I put a cherry on top? Tell me if I misinterpreted the seer or not. But did he allude to the fact that who was going to be king but in another land? Was it Uber or Bjorn?
Bjorn. He said, all I said was he wasn't going to be king of Kattegat.
Right.
And then on that point, the Margaret asked, well, do you think I'm crazy? And will crazy people rule? And he said, the peer said, perhaps mad people will rule the world. So basically speaking of Trump. No?
Bam.
Wow, right there, first man. Trump reference all episode.
Enough said, man.
Oh my goodness. Crazy people do run the world already. I love all these predictions. You guys have a ton of them in there. Thank you so much for all your input and feedback. You know, I'm actually with you guys. I don't have any like ginormous predictions whatsoever. My only big one is that I do think Floki has to die.
Floki gotta die.
And it's not a huge prediction, but I feel like they're trying to think that we won't think that Floki will die, but I feel like Floki
Blood
has to
Eagle,
die.
Blood Eagle, oh, Blood God. Eagle.
Not Blood Eagle. And Yaku, everyone in the comments has been saying you're super excited tonight.
I'm passionate. Sad that the show is over. I have to wait how many months to be here with you and with y'all, gentlemen, and Kerry. So, but I think that wraps it up. We have to say goodbye.
That does. But listen, we are not going anywhere. We're coming back for the second half of season 5. When this comes back, you guys will have all of us, Yaku and Al and Carrie and James, and of course you guys and Steve, because that is ultimately what matters. This is a show with you guys. We're all super fans. We love to talk about it. Steve, I'm going to Big Cam here. Thank you guys so much for all your love and input and hanging out with us this season. And boys, everyone, we'll see you.
Twitters.
James Simmons. I am James Simmons, but what is my Twitter? At AskTheNP on Instagram, too.
Hey, everybody. I'm Al Gregg. You can follow me on Twitter at JamaicaHouseDoc and my new IG, Algie_JamaicaHouse. And everybody get down in the YouTube comments, even after the show, tonight, tomorrow. Let's keep commenting. We'll answer you right back.
Click the thumbs up. I'm going to talk real slow, so write this down, okay? You guys can follow me at Yaku Vinings. It's on the screen. Thank you so much for watching. We absolutely love you guys interacting with us. We'll see you guys in the next season.
Bye. See you in the afterlife. See you in Valhalla.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. Skull.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.